Well, we've been talking about divine church authority. And we always have to start with the family because that's where God started. Amen. And we've been discovering that if Adam had corrected some stuff in his house, we wouldn't have all the issues we have today. Now, no need to get mad with Adam, because you getting mad with him is not going to fix your stuff. So you don't need to want to cuss him out and talk to him when you get to heaven and all that kind of stuff. It's going to be done and over with by the time you get there. So, you know, hey, we just going to do what we know to do based on the word and get it fixed. Amen? Because we have authority, say authority, to fix it. And you need to know that. So if you got the power to do it and the authority to do it, do it. You don't have to be playing a guessing game. Just fix it. Just fix it. That's just how easy it is. You just fix it. Now you said, I got to invest some time in it. Yeah. Look at all the time you wasted doing something wrong. So stop putting all this heavy on yourself about trying to get it done in the next 30 days. Go ahead and take a deep breath. Let it out. Because you're not going to fix everything overnight. But you got to start. And my assignment to you is to make sure you know what to do and how to utilize what you have at your disposal. Amen? We talked about how that the woman has two wombs. There's a spiritual womb and there's a natural womb. And how that most women have never had spiritual intercourse, not with their spouse. Come on now, come on. Don't go physical. Because we ain't talking sex. Sex is physical. Look at your wife. Don't look at your neighbor. Look at your wife or your spouse and say, sex is physical. We ain't talking sex. The reason most of y'all got problems in your marriage because there's an unfulfillment in the woman. And she creates a lot of noise when she's unfulfilled. She'll ask for stuff that she really don't even need because she's trying to be filled with something. And when you understand that principle, you attend to her differently. You know, I was recounting all the times that, and I've told y'all this before, but I can remember just going to my husband and saying, let's just let me lay on your chest. And I would just cry. He said, what you crying about? I said, I don't know. Don't ask me. He said, okay. It was those moments. You know, that special time of the month. He just knew. He said, okay, I ain't gonna ask no questions. Now, if y'all got a wife, y'all know about the special time of the month. Stop acting like you don't know what I'm talking about. And you know she's different that week. How many of y'all know she's going to be different that week? And she might need a little more extra attention that week. And if she asks you to give her some attention, you need to give her the attention. Because she'll get busy in that time frame building something that's not even happening. She'll think you don't care. She said, you don't love me. That's just her emotions talking. You got to know how to calm her down. You got to say, okay, baby, look, just lay here. Just rest. Let me go get you a glass of tea. Do something nice for her. When you know it's that time, my husband would send me flowers because he knew I love flowers. Or he'd bring me a card and some candy. Because chocolate is always good during that week. And for those who like chocolate. But you got to understand that there are two wombs that has to be filled by the male man. Now, if you're unmarried, I did not forget the unmarried. You have a spiritual womb that has to be filled too. This is why you have to be connected to a church that has authority that can help you, because you still can't see all the way for yourself. You are not designed. And I think that's the greatest disservice that's been done to the female and to the woman, is that she's been made to feel she don't need a man to see. Therefore, she becomes blind and don't even know she's blind. Now, that is a terrible thing because you need the man, just like the man needs you. I didn't get too many amens, but that's all right. It's still right. Because you got a lot of unmarried women and married women that feel like they don't need the man's input in certain parts of their life. But see, that's the way you're handling God. You don't think you need Jesus and everything in your life, so you don't include him. You only give him bits and pieces of your life to work. That's why you still messed up, because you got all these fragments that you give to God. You give him a fragment here and a fragment there, and then you take the rest and work it out the best way you can work it out. You weren't designed to do that. Put a lot of stress on you. Undue stress. And then we said if you got a woman to talk, you know the story, right? She's going to tell you her past, her present, her future. And she's going to disclaim all her dissatisfactions about her husband in a conversation. And it's a terrible thing. I can't stand it when I hear women talk against their husband. I don't like it when I see a man trying to berate his wife in public. It's ugly. Making her look like she's silly. Girl, you can't do nothing right. See, you shouldn't talk. If you got a wife that you feel that way about, you don't need to be married. You the one that needs some help. Because you shouldn't have married her if she wasn't all that to you. You knew that, see, you should, I told y'all, you should learn the rules of marriage before you get married. This is why we have guidance sessions for married couples that most people don't like. So what they do, they find another way of getting things done. But you need a guidance session. Somebody got to tell you the truth if it's going to be successful. I'm glad. See, we had Dr. Davis and I had to learn the hard way a lot of things. We didn't have pastors that would look out for our soul the way we look out for y'all. We didn't have that. We got married with understanding, okay, we're going to get married because of the Lord want us to get married. But who going to guide us? Who going to teach us? We were in the wind for the first 3 years of being married. So we went through a lot of unnecessary stuff had we had somebody telling us, don't do that. Now, that's not right. Now, we went to the Word and found with the best of our understanding how to be husband and wife, because neither one of us was used to it. But I'm here to help you. And if you listen, you'll come out this okay. See, the woman was never designed to be uncovered, because she doesn't have the long-range vision. We're talking about the household. The mailman does. He always has and he always will. So let's look at verse, let me see. What verse I want to go to first, Lord. Oh, there it is right there. Look at let me get my verse right. Some things happen as a result of the woman being out of order and she taking the lead. You know, things are never right when the woman is leading incorrectly. Now, there are some women like myself whose husband has left. If they're going to be with Jesus. Does that make you now, okay, now I'm the boss of everything? You still have to be covered. This is why Pastor DJ is the associate, because there are going to be some male issues that only a male should address. Come on, say amen. Amen. And I'm not trying to be all that all by myself. But at the same time, I have spiritual covering over me. Hey, Dad and Mom, thank you so much for covering me. Pastor Field and Pastor Barbara Privet. Victory Life, 1741 West Queen Street. You in that side, go to church. You You know why? Because I'm grateful that I have them. Why? Because they're looking out for me and they're looking out for you. And if they watch my videos, if they see something I'm saying that's not correct, you know, they can be, Diana. Can't nobody call me like Mom. Mm-mm. Because she says, it's like she takes time to pronounce all the vowels in my name. Diana. I like it. That's my mom talking to me. And she, you know what? She'd be sitting down just talking every day. We'd be eating a sandwich. I don't care what we're doing. And she going to impart and tell me something. See, because she's looking out for y'all. He's looking out for y'all. And that's what you need. You need oversight. Whether you're married or unmarried, you must have oversight. Now, I know, see, that's very, very uncommon in our society today for women to be covered. But that's the plan of the enemy. See, because if he can flip the script and make you feel like you don't need that, then you won't look for it and you won't have it and you're going to live a life that is very dissatisfying. See, because money won't please you the way you think it will. And you go from one relationship to another relationship and then when men just get tired of you, you know, then you might switch. I don't know. I'm just saying. Because broken women do some dumb stuff. Now let's see how God said, now some things happened right there. God announced it in the garden before he put them out of the garden. Let's see what he said in Genesis 3, verse 16. Genesis 3. Verse 16. Now, he's talking to the man first. He talks to Adam. And the first thing he asks Adam, who told you were naked? Adam said, I heard you coming. He said, Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? Now, I'm used to you meeting me in the light. Now, Adam, where are you? I don't sense you the way I used to. Adam, where are you? I'm over here hiding because I'm naked. Who told you were naked? Who told you lost your authority, Adam? Because that wasn't that naked to me. Not just he don't have any clothes on. He was naked. He has lost his authority. Adam, who told you lost your authority? How do you know you lost your authority? Did you disobey me? That's the next thing. He says, who told thee, look at verse 11, who told thee that thou wast naked? Have you eaten of the tree where I commanded you? Who did God make responsible? He says, I commanded you not to eat of the tree. Have you eaten up that tree, Adam? That's the only way you're going to know that you lost the anointing because you disobeyed. Then Adam throws the woman under the bus. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And women been blamed. From this part on. You know, she kind of set herself up for it, but she was deceived. But Adam put her in a different category. Now you're going to see where he names her name. They have two identities all of a sudden. Because before that, she was never called Eve. There was no Adam and Eve. It was just Adam. And when Adam got called, so did his wife. Because they were one. Now they're two. Why? Two visions. Divorce means there are two visions operating in the same space. You don't have to be out of the same building to be divorced. You got two separate visions working. The man and the woman no longer working together. Jesus. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled, or he tricked me, and I did eat. Now, God didn't fuss at her about disobeying the commandment. Did you notice that? He didn't tell her like what he said to Adam, because he commanded Adam not to eat of the tree. Adam was supposed to tell his whole household, don't eat that tree. And the Lord said unto the serpent, now the serpent gets cursed because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go. So apparently he was not on his belly. He was walking upright. And dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Now he's going to live in the dirt, eat the dirt. And I will put enmity, I'm going to put hostility rather, between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall what? Say it out loud. Rule over thee. Because he's going to say, now, when he wouldn't handle you the way I designed him to handle you, now he's going to have to really enforce authority over you. Because you're going to be just a little bit wild. When it's nice and manageable, most men don't go ahead and deal with it. They wait till it become a wild root. And then they try to cut the weed down. I was meditating this. And you know, if you got a tree in your yard and you cut it down, but you don't pull up the root, how many of you know that tree got the propensity to grow back? And it can grow back taller and stronger than it was before because you didn't pull up the root. In order to kill the whole tree, you got to go down to the root and pull it up. Now he said, Adam, you're going to have to work to keep this woman under submission. Where she would have followed him without any problems had he corrected some stuff at home before she enticed him to eat. But because he didn't fix it, and he's standing back watching her engage in conversation with the serpent every day. Because y'all know this was not a one-time conversation, right? So now it says to her, he gonna have rule over. I want to read the translation let me find that translation. And to the woman, as a consequence of your actions, I will increase your suffering, the pain of childbirth, and the sorrow of bringing forth the next generation. You will desire your husband, but rather than a companion, he will be a dominant partner. Now that's not, don't get no wrong stuff there. That's just a translation. But that's not what the Lord, what is saying. Now look what the Amplified says. To the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain, you will give birth to children. Yet your desire and your longing will be for your husband. And he will rule with authority over you and be responsible for you. Now he has to work at it. See, I'm trying to point to you. You're having to work at working with each other when there was not a bone of contention before the fall. They didn't have a problem working together. Now you have to do something to work together. You're not going to get harmony just automatically. You have to work at harmony. And then you got to become skilled and proficient in working in harmony. You can't let it go. You got to stay on top of it. Why? Because you have an adversary that is trying to always introduce rebellion in your midst because of the fall. Now we have to deal with the spirit of rebellion constantly. And it can seep into your life so quickly and so simply. Something that shouldn't be trivial can become a rebellious mode because we have that spirit loosed in the earth. You understand? Therefore, you have to work at harmonizing. It's not going to happen just because both of y'all save. It's not going to happen just because both of y'all pray or study the Bible. You have to work one with the other. Mm. He pray, I pray. I don't know why because you're not working. And prayer is not the substitute for work. It'll aid you, but it's not the substitute for working. Therefore, you must plan how you're going to participate in the marriage. Mm. Oh, Jesus. That's another horse of another color. Because you really do have to plan how to participate. Now we got to set guidelines how we're going to do what we do. And who's going to do what we do. Because everybody can't do the same thing. If everybody in the kitchen trying to cook, who going to clean the beds? Who going to mop the floor? If everybody in the kitchen. Who going to raise the kids? How are we going to raise them? Now you got to work at it. You can't pray that out. You got to work it out. On top of all y'all differences, you got to work it out. Mm. You got to go to the Bible, get that set of, don't listen to that lie that tell them the children don't come with a manual. Yes, they do. It's called the B-I-B-L-E. When you go to it, it'll instruct you how to raise your babies. It'll tell you that train them while they're a kid. That does not mean trying to teach them and reason with them. When they 1 to 4, they can't hardly tell you much of, now they're reasoning a little bit better because, I mean, we got, the kids are wiser than it was when my kids were coming up. Just a little bit faster, but not a whole lot. But it, listen, but at any rate, but that'll make them a different kind of kid. That you can leave them unto themselves. See, the way you train through habits. Look at your neighbor and say, you train through habits. Don't you know you train your kid? When you train your kid to go, to pick up his stuff and put it back in the toy box, you're training that kid that one day when they get a job, they'll know how to complete something. They'll know how to pick up behind themselves, that when they get married, there won't be a problem to their wife or to their husband. Because nobody, you marry somebody that's neat and then you marry somebody that's junky and won't pick up behind themselves, that's a bone of contention in a lot of marriages. Because one wanted to be clean and the other one was raised to just toss their stuff. These are bone of contentions. See, this is why you got to work at harmonizing. Because the differences are now, and depending on how each one of you were raised and what was a priority in your house, that's what's going to come into your house. And you got to take all this stuff and lay it out and say, look, this is our plan of action. This is how we're going to do this. This is Monday going to be wash day. You say, what? If you don't, your house going to be a mess. And you're going to be trying, especially when babies start to come in, you're going to have a fit trying to keep up with the washing. That's going to be a problem after a while. Here's my big word, scheduling. It freaks everybody out. It's called scheduling. You sit down and you schedule your life. It makes it more harmonious. And your husband shouldn't be left out just because of the job you do. You should tell him, say, now, baby, look, if you got things you need to be washed, I'm washing on Monday, and I might do a few loads on Saturday. So now everybody know when it's wash day. As our children got older, they had their own special day of washing. And if they didn't wash on their day, they had to wait till somebody else would either finish or wait till the weekend. Why? That was the schedule. You're not going to infringe on my days. But you know what? It made them more studious about their own stuff. Because if they need clean clothes, they got to get up and wash them. Because guess who's not going to do it now? Me. You're not driving me crazy behind all this stuff. No, I'm not washing 10 loads of clothes in a day. Because I got children upstairs capable to put clothes in a washing machine, and I won't train them to use a washing machine. So now here you are picking up behind 10, 12, 13-year-old kids. Ain't no way. You ain't gonna have no energy. No wonder you broke down by the time 8 o'clock come. You trying to work for 5 people with no assistance. You're raising your children to be parasites. And they deplete all your energy. See, you train through habits. My children knew this the way we do stuff. You're going to pick up your clothes. And if you don't pick them up, they're going to be on the floor. Because I'm not coming in your room and pick it up. You don't like the way your room smells, clean it. I'm not coming in and clean it. They had their own bathroom. I'm not coming in your bathroom and cleaning up behind you. I taught you how to clean. I showed them, I took them in there, trained them how to clean the bathroom. If they don't clean, it's on them. See, y'all too passive with your kids. You coddle them too much. So by the time they walk out into real life, they don't have any skills of working with people. And they expect people to coddle them the way you coddle them. And then they get the biggest hurt of their life. Now they're offended. And they walk off a good job because nobody won't coddle them. And that's where they got messed up, was at home. Because you made them lazy. You said, man, I'm glad you had to live in your house. I'm glad you didn't have to live in my house either. Don't worry about it. You'll grow up to be somebody if you had stayed in my house. You know, all our children are grown. But we train them in tithing and giving. I'm talking to you this morning about training through habits. See, Adam allowed his wife to have a habit that destroyed the whole family. A habit of talking to somebody or something she had no business talking to. And he stood by and let it happen. But see, you train through habits. Say, I'm trained through habits. So if you want to be trained, just watch, see how the habits you're developing right now. You're training yourself. You're training yourself to sleep late. That's a way you were trained. That is not automatic. You were trained to sleep beyond what's necessary. And then you start saying, I'm not a morning person. Well, what's wrong with morning? It does come to all of us, unless you're dead. Even the Bible said, weeping may do it for the night, but joy come in the morning. So that means morning is all right. You should get up with some joy in the morning. You should not get up fighting because you got to get up sooner than you've been trained. You're going to have to retrain. Say, retrain. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. I know you're waiting on something. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I think that's where I want to go. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. See, you're training through habits. Okay, that may not be the scripture, but anyway, let's see what we can get out of here. Okay, look at verse 11. Nevertheless, neither the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman. But all things of God. He says, judge yourself. He said, doesn't even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? Well, let's see if I can find another version, because that don't fit our society today. Does not common sense itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him? That don't sound right, Apostle Paul. What you mean? having long hairs or dishonor. No, it's talking about covering. It's not talking about just the length of his hair. It's talking about if that man got somebody over him other than God in his house. In his house. If he got somebody over him other than God, it's a dishonor. He said, in other words, you might always have long hair like your wife. Oh, Jesus. Because if she bossing you, go ahead and laugh. Get it on out. I don't mean if she's making suggestions. Y'all know what I mean when I say if she bossing you. Where you going? You don't need that. Put that down. How come? No, we going to my mama today. No such thing as asking. Everything is a command. So he's saying it's a dishonor to you, men. But we learn by habits. Now turn to James 3, verse 9, because it's still saying the man is not independent of the woman, neither is the woman independent of the man. So if we're going to work in harmony, that's what I was using those scriptures for. In order to create harmony, then you got to be able to work together. You're going to have to train one another based on your individual habits. Because that's all you're working with. That means both of y'all got to come to the table and change some habits. Because you're not going to like everything she does, and she's not going to like everything you do. And it says, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men. You'll notice some lot of cursing going on in the house, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. So what he's saying, you can't make a sweet well bitter when it's coming up from the root of it. You can't turn a bad tree into something rotten if it's not already present. He says, oh, man. And it says that man or woman is independent of the other. They need each other. So therefore, you got to learn how to work in harmony. And me and you got to handle her just a tiny bit different than you would handle yourself. Because she is you, but she's got a different function. So her mentality is different. My husband used to say, girl, your perception's so off. Because I said, it will fit in that corner. He said, that dress is not going to fit in that corner. I said, yes, it will. He said, girl, look at that. And look at the dresser. I said, it'll work. He said, well, okay, we push it in the corner. I said, no, it don't work. But in my eyes, I could see that it was going to go in there. Now, there were times I was right, and he didn't see it. But most of the time, he was right when it came to stuff like that. And I had to yield to it. And we would laugh. You can't get upset or offended. Well, you think you right all the time. See, you can't go there. Laugh at it. You were wrong. It'll make it easier for him to work with you. You need him to help you in the house. Make it pleasant. Don't make him feel like he's your slave. Ooh, Jesus. Oh, I must have hit a nerve. See, you turn to his boss when it's time to do housework. And he ain't liking it. So he'll find something else to do. He'll go somewhere else while you cleaning the house. Because you're not pleasant to be around. Can I get an amen? We got to learn. You're training him through your habits. Now, my husband was not a person that really liked doing a whole lot, but he would vacuum. He could, Only one other person I know can do them lines like my husband, and that's my Mary. My husband would take that vacuum cleaner. Now, he was special. He said, this is my specialty. He could vacuum a rug and make it look like it was brand new. So guess what he did? Ain't no need to fussing with it. He did it better than me. And I said, oh, baby, you hitting it today. Good Lord. I said, that's so nice. My children said, I don't remember seeing Daddy vacuum. Well, you were present. We ain't need it. He didn't need the vacuum. You were doing the vacuuming. We were training you. By the time you got old enough, Daddy put down the vacuum cleaner because you were present. When you were younger, Daddy did a whole lot of stuff that you may not remember because I needed help. But we learn to work in harmony. Mm. Somebody, that was funny, right? Yeah, I know it. Women are elevated when she is the glory of the man. Mm. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Let's begin reading at verse 21. So you got to learn how to work in harmony. And we got to stay here until we get this picture clear, because this is what is missing in the local church, because our homes are being attacked and we don't know how to help our own homes. So I'm here to help you. And those listening online, this is not a crazy session. This is actually the gospel that you're hearing. I know it's foreign to most people, but this is actually the gospel. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the reverence of God. Now, see, that's key. We're not going to go past that, because submission is key. And submitting is not tolerance. Mm. We tolerate stuff, but we're really not submitted. Well, if that's what you really want to do, I'll go along. No, you're not submitted yet, because you're showing your little anger because it's not being done your way. Sometimes a man, you got to follow his lead. You got to submit to it, because if you make a mistake, if he make a mistake, you're still in it together. If you submit, he might find his way out faster. Because he don't want you to stay in something bad long. So he says, submit yourselves one to another in the reverence of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own, to your own husband. And you need to do it as though you're doing it unto the Lord. Now, would you treat your husband, or would you treat the Lord, rather, the way you handle your husband? Selah. Pause and think about it for a moment. If Jesus was here looking at you in the flesh, would you handle him the way you handle your husband? Dale Davis was king of the Davis house, and he knew it. I did not worship him, but I honored and respected him. I loved him. You said, what? Yeah, he knew it. He didn't have to go look for a whole lot of stuff, because I waited on him. People said, I ain't waiting on no man. That's your man. Do what your boo like. I don't care. I said, I waited on my husband. I'm making harmony in my house. Your man may not need that, because he may not be used to it. I served him on a platter, unless he came to the table. I laid his clothes out. Y'all saw how nice he looked? Mama was styling and profiling for him. Ironed his clothes, ironed his shirt. Was I a maid? Absolutely not. I was his helper. The man, he could iron, but you know, let me tell you something. I saw a couple of his iron there. He could iron a shirt all right. But I'm going like, baby, don't iron that suit like that, because you're gonna have a crease on the side of your pant and in the front. Just let me iron the clothes. I'm checking, I'm looking out for him, right? Now, he could do certain things. Now, my husband could shop. Now, he really knew how to dress. But when it came to laying the stuff out, he would just say, pick out what you want me to wear. I go there and pick it out. And we do this on Friday and Saturday, because we ain't playing that on Sunday morning. I'm getting me dressed. You got to get yourself dressed on Sunday morning, baby. If I lay it out for you, can you dress yourself? Yes. That's the way we worked it. So how you treat your husband is how you handle in God. Now, this is God's gauge on your maturity, not yours. If you're a married woman, God gauges your maturity on how you deal with your husband. So if it's not being done as unto the Lord, I mean, you know, watch this. Verse 23 is getting ready to shoot you if you're not ready for this one. For the husband is the head of the wife. Even. As Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. So men, there you are. You're a preservative. You preserve her by keeping her in her right place. You preserve her by helping her to find that place to honor you. And sometimes she don't know what you like. And if you don't tell her, she's going to assume she know. Because you're training her to buy stuff you don't like. Now, when we couldn't do any better, I would buy my husband a $10 tithe, because that's all I could get him. And that was okay. He find a way to dress it up, make it look right. But when we got able, he didn't want a $10 tie. He found a company, I can't even pronounce the company, but it was Italian. Silk ties. I think I gave my son probably the whole bin of, he had a bin about this high with nothing but ties laid in it. Because the rack wouldn't hold them. Because he liked ties. So I bought him silk ties. I didn't give him a lot of stuff that he didn't like because it was Christmas or his birthday. He didn't like cards. I do. He said he didn't like cards when I went through his desk. Mary and I must have found almost 100 cards were between my giving and the kids giving him, and some of you all gave him cards. He still held some of those cards in the drawer to his desk, and I kept them. But he had ties that he had purchased over the year and I bought over the years for him because that's what he liked. See, you got to learn how to work in harmony. Now, you get offended if you give him a gift and then he won't wear it. You need to find out why he won't wear it. He don't like it. And he's trying not to hurt your feelings. You shouldn't get your feelings hurt. Find out what he really like. Then, men, find out what your wife like. She may not like you wearing those shirts like that all the time. Well, I'm going to leave that one alone. Every now and then, she might want to see you in a suit. I mean, I know casual is the thing of the day, but suits are still being made. And there's nothing wrong with a man looking good in a good suit. It shows a sign of prosperity. And you'd be amazed as to what it would do for your wife. You dumb her down because she don't want to outshine you. So now she got to wear that plain Jane dress because you come in a pair of slacks in a shirt that you wore to work. She wanted to see her man when she would step out and on your arm, she wanted to see her man looking fine. Make the women hate her. Amen. See, the women said amen. Y'all better listen. There must be something to it. I know what I'm talking about. But see, that's where you work in harmony. I'm going to close for this morning because I know those online, they probably scratching their head. But that's all right. Keep scratching. The word can heal you. It said the husband is the head of the wife. So we're talking about family. We are not in the church now. We are in the house. The man's supposed to be the head, which means he got certain responsibilities unto the wife and the family that the wife does not have. All right, because if you're the owner of the company, that means you got responsibilities that the workers don't have. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. And it says he's the savior of the body. So the man is the preserver of the wife's body. He keeps it and makes it and fine-tunes it. Make sure she doesn't break down because she's overstressed and overworked and falling out because she can't get an answer to something, or you won't talk to her when you under pressure. Ain't nothing like a woman going crazy when she know you dealing with something and you trying to keep it a secret. As though she can't handle it. You want to irk a woman? Act like you're a private spy. She need to know what's happening with you. Because she can pray for you even if she can't answer it.
Amen.
Look at verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ. Hold on. The church is subject. Oh, Jesus, you mean the church has to be subject unto Christ? You mean we can't do what we want to do in the church? That means you can't do what you want to do in the household.
Amen.
Harmony requires me making adjustments. I listened to my son talk about his ability to teach and his some of his students. The reason some of them fail and some of them are good at it because of what they do at home. And the parent is demanding that of the child. Johnny, you're going to come in here and practice for an hour. I'm not paying for these lessons and you're not going to practice. Somebody in the house is looking at Johnny practice. Because when my husband was at work, when he was taking lessons, I'm the one listening. Said it, dun, 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 until it got good. Well, you know, you had to have a beginning. You didn't come out playing Beethoven. Somebody had to be there to listen to the beginning stage. And when he didn't feel like it, you don't feel like eating today either. Because you're going to go in there and practice. Because when Ms. Jacobson called you, you better be ready. Now, we didn't have that problem because he wanted to do it. But I'm using that as an example. Because if you don't train them through the habits at home, you're training them to fail in life. You're training them to quit on something that they can be great at. Some of you quit on something that you should have been great at because your parents didn't insist that you finish it. If you're going to start something, finish it. You're not going to quit in the middle just because it gets a little hard. Finish it. Or else don't start it. And you're going to be good at it. Do your very best. That's all Dad and I ever ask. Do your very best. If you give me your best, I'm all right. But I'm not going to take no shortcuts and all that stuff. No, what are we doing? We were training them to become excellent for the kingdom. You shouldn't want to give God half-handed stuff. But if you're not training your kids at home to do certain things, that's why you give them chores. You're building character. And if you let them off the hook, they ain't going to have no character when they grow up. If he can eat, they can work. That was my motto. You had to take it. That was my motto. If you can eat, you can work. And I would tell my children, youngest two, take that back to the toy chest, put it over there. And they think they help. They be so cute. They be toting it's about big as them, and they be toting like this. But they working. They do it enough. I won't have to tell them go take it. I just trained them by a habit. And you, let me, this is a free one for you. Women, if you get to stay home and be with your children, don't wait for your husband to come home to try to train the kid. Do that while he's away. The man come home and you're not, didn't I tell you go over there and sit down? And the man going like, Lord Jesus, Calgon, take me away. For those of us young enough to remember the Calgon commercial, take me away. Give me a moment. I didn't work all day and come home just to hear y'all holler at the kids. You got to train your kids how to be quiet at home. I'm teaching y'all practical things that will make your marriage better, make you more suitable for the kingdom. See, we miss it because we think we need a lot of teaching. Just like Pastor DJ was saying Wednesday night, I told him, get out my lesson. You can't teach what have not been trained. See, what we I took the example when he was taking the karate class. Was it karate? Okay. He was taking karate classes at one time. And the guy, and all I could think about was the movie The Karate Kid. How many of y'all remember that? And he thought the guy was going to teach him all these fantastic moves and stuff. And the man put a rag in his hand and told him, go buff the car. He said, do it like this. What was he doing? He was training his arm to have a reflex. And I guarantee you when he got in a fight, he was glad for the training. So when it was time to teach him some moves and principles of karate, he had a foundation of training. You can't teach a child that won't respond to training. And that's where we have a lot of people, they got the age on them, but they don't have any training. So now the church got to train you as though you are a kid, and some people don't like that. But that's what's missing in your life. We got to carry you all the way back to the basics. Why? Because they were missing in your household. And it's very obvious when you see some people why they can't get results in their house because training was missing. They just learned to get older. He said, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so the church can't do whatever it wants to do, so let the wives be to their own husbands in some things. In some things. No, we're going to take that word every out. Because that ain't what the Lord really meant. We're going to make this fit our narrative. We found a lot of that in society, in the newfangled church today. They're changing the word to fit the narrative. But the Bible says in everything. Now, when men, you don't escape. Husbands, love your wives. Now, love doesn't mean just be mushy. The mushy is okay. But he said that's not what he's talking about. He says, do unto them what God would do unto them. Love them. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Ooh, Jesus. So you mean you got to give yourself for your wife? Yes, you do. And you give and you keep right on giving. Why? Because that's what love does. That he might sanctify. That means he's going to set her aside for his use only. Ha, ha, ha. That means he must have something that God needs him to do. Because now he's got to sanctify this woman unto what he's called to do. And you can't do that without training. There's got to be some harmony. When it's time to do ministry, she can't be trying to outshine you, and you can't be trying to outshine her. Interrupting when you're talking. Now, you know, that happens when you get married and be married a long time. You know, you can finish each other's sentence, but you can see where it's not a, I'm just trying to take over. You know, I did that to my husband. He would do it to me. I could be up here doing the laws of prosperity. And he would say, that means he had something to say. So he would give me a warning. But, you know, used to be that he'd say, hey, baby, hold that spot right there. And he just started talking. But see, I didn't get offended. Because that's the way we dealt at home. We was used to having Bible conversations at home. So it was not unusual for him to say, oh, let me, can I say something on that thought right there? Because it'd be talking to him. I'm telling you. Now, here's another freedom for you. Ain't nothing like having sex after having a spiritual conversation. Me and you ought to get on that right away. It's just so much easier. Y'all laughing, but it works. You talk to any prominent if they would tell you. Minister out there that's married. That's part of the key why they're so successful. They keep their wives satisfied spiritually and naturally. And she yields to them sexually. There's no struggle. Because sex should not be a fight. Shouldn't have to fight to have sex. What happened? I didn't give a one yes. Okay. Okay. Oh, Jesus. I see my job is cut out for me. Oh, Jesus. See, it shouldn't be a fight to have sex. There should be a constant communion that keep the door open, that it can be spontaneous or it can be planned. It's like prayer. You plan to pray, but then sometimes God will call you in the moment and it's spontaneous. I'm teaching, ain't I? That's right. I'm teaching. I know I'm teaching this morning. But see, if y'all so rigid, you don't really keep the door open by spiritually talking to her, conversating with her all the time, then you, when you ready, you think she ought to be ready. And she going, the devil is a lie. Your eyes may shine and your teeth may grit. Yeah, you ain't getting under this. That's the way it is in a lot of houses. See, that's a lack of communication. And it's just not communication, it's a lack of fellowship. See, you're not supposed to get born again and don't have a fellowship with the Lord Jesus. Because you miss a lot when you don't fellowship. So your communion with your spouse should be fellowshipping, not just having a conversation about bills. It should be because we just want a fellowship. Lord, help me, Jesus. Am I teaching, honey? Oh, praise the Lord. My daughter, that's the I'm teaching. Hallelujah. It says, because why? He's going to sanctify this woman unto his use, and then he's going to cleanse her with a washing of water by what? The word. So you got to have a word in your marriage. The word is what's going to bring the cleanness. And you can't judge it based on your old tradition, how your dad and mama taught you if it's wrong. You got to go to the word to figure the stuff out. Do it together. Let's learn this together. So we both had the same mind about it. And that'll shut down the struggle. Instead of you trying to get her your version of it, and she reading something else, and you telling her this. No, the Lord said, the husband supposed to be the head of the house. That means you got to do what I say. Let's see how that work out for you, cool. It ain't worked so far. You got a lot of arguing going on. But no harmonious living. I don't like a lot of mess in my house. I want to come into a house where there's peace and quiet. I don't care what's going on outside. Let me go in my house where it's peace and quiet, where love abides. If we got to discuss something, let's do it according to the word. You ain't got to get mad to discuss something that's unpleasant. But see, that's why you got to grow up, because both of y'all might be too immature to have the conversation. Somebody got to take the lead, and men, that's on you. That means you got to find out how to handle her, because you already know she's going to cry. And she might not like you for the next 24 hours, but do it anyway. She'll get over it. She ain't going nowhere. She will not leave you. She'll love you for correcting her, for sanctifying her, for cleansing her with the word, that you might present her to yourself, because I'm inverting this, because if it's about talking about the church, that you might present her to yourself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Oh, man. You can look at her and say, I built that. She dressed looking like you want her to look. She's happy. You can say, I built that. That's my church. Whoa. So when you ain't got that in your house, because you're not building. You're not building. Take time to build. It'll come to pass. Look at verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loves himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Oh, hallelujah. I am a part of the Lord Jesus. I am a member of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. So this woman is a member of your body. She came out of you. Whatever she produces is what you have permitted, because she came out of you. When you signed that covenant called a license, you took ownership of her. And you are producing in her what you want. And sometimes that means plucking up with dad and mama taught her. Sometimes dad and mama did good, but other times they didn't do so well. And you got to be able to discern that. That means I got to have fellowship with the Lord Jesus. Why? Because women are elevated when she is seen as the glory of the man. This is not suppression or oppression, but an elevation. Look at 1 Thessalonians 2:20, and we're getting ready to close. 1 Thessalonians 2:20, and I'm going to close. Apostle Paul is saying to the church at Thessalonica, for ye are our glory and joy. And it's comparative. When you go back over to Ephesians, he was talking about how that this is in comparison, the church, or marriage rather, to the church. So the woman is supposed to be the joy or the fulfillment of his joy. She's supposed to be his crowning glory. And the word glory there means that she has brought so much to the table. She has made him rich. That's what Proverbs talked about. She brought so much to the table, and he allowed her to become who she was on the inside, that it caused wealth to be in his house. But he had to keep her covered so that she didn't feel the pressures of the outside world. Ooh, Jesus. It also denotes her position of ministry alongside the man. See, in ministry, that's a whole nother book. But in the house, man, you it. Ain't nothing wrong with being the head. You can handle it. God equipped you for that. You are more than capable of leading her. And if she's a good woman, and I believe all the women in this church are good women, because we got some good women in this church. We got some great men in this place. We just been missing these little, you know, like spark plugs. You got to fine-tune them. Got to replace them every now and then, you know. That's the older cars. I don't know what they got in the new cars today. Don't ask me none, but I know it. We had to change spark plugs back then. They still got them, okay. But you had to fine-tune them. You had to clean them sometime, you know, because sometimes the corrosion would set on top of them, and they would misfire. You had to go in there, and you had to get some salve and rub on it, heal it up, put it back in there, so it'll work just fine. It'll run like a kitten. That's what you have to do, but you got to work on it, because she got some things that are not healthy for her. And you got some, y'all, but you got to learn how to work together. Because you're building a ministry. See, that's the next level of family. It's ministry. You're working towards a ministry. Not to stay in your house. You weren't designed to just live in your house. You're supposed to be equipping yourself for ministry. Okay, I'm going to stop. Come on, stand to your feet. Did you learn anything this morning? Yeah.